Take that out and stand for the reading of God's holy word. And we're going to do what we did last week. I'm going to read the first few verses, and I'll tell you when to join me, all of us together. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. This, then, is how you should pray. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I pray that we might take all of these petitions to heart, that even as we go over each index sentence, you will impress upon us the truth of what each one says to us, and that we will take it, utilize it, and use it in our personal lives. Open our ears this morning and our hearts this morning. In Christ's name, Lord, we want to please you and bless you with our faith. May it exalt you today. May it exalt you tomorrow. And may all we do and say do that because we are Christ ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began our study of the Lord's Prayer. And you think we know the Lord's Prayer so very well that why would we have to study it? Last week, one of the things we said was Jesus was the first one to call God Father. No Jew ever called God Father. He used it 65 times in the Synoptics, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 100 times in John's Gospel. Jews never called God Father. And because of that, the disciples said, teach us to pray like you. And what was different about it? He called God Father. And he gives us the right, and he gives us the privilege to call God Father. Well, a second grade Sunday school teacher was teaching her class about the Lord's Prayer. And she asked a question to her class, does anyone know God's name? And one little boy raised his hand, and the little boy said, yes, God's name is Harold. And the teacher said, Harold? Did one of our teachers tell you that? He says, no, we pray it all the time. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be thy name. Of course, Harold is not God's name. But we are, however, to hallow God's name. So I want to encourage you, as I do every week, take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you'll want to take some notes, not so that you become a professional note taker, but that so that you will take this out later in the week and go over these things, because we want to have God's word transforming us. We want to be making more and more like Jesus. That's the point of us still being here. That's why when we are saved, God doesn't zap us right away. We have this time to be being made more and more like Jesus. Well, this is the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Last week it's not a petition. And the Lord's Prayer is divided into two sections. The two main sections. I know you probably never think of things like this. That's why it's so important for us to study the Lord's Prayer. We've been taking a look at prayer now for almost 2 months and divided into two main sections. And you probably never thought of this before. The first section is concerned with God. The first section is concerned with God. Look at this. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. All three of those petitions pertain to God. The second section we see in the Lord's Prayer, and of course, God should come first whenever we pray. The second section is concerned with the needs of mankind. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us. Forgive us our debts, trespasses, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So three petitions pertain to God, and three petitions pertain to the needs of mankind. And we're looking at the first petition this morning, hallowed be God's name. This is a serious sermon. You know, I'm not going to about to say anything funny, but this is a serious sermon because I think sometimes we don't realize how holy God is. We know the word, but we may not know just how holy he is. Hallowed be God's name. The word hallowed comes from the Greek word hagios, and it means to set apart. It means to mark off, to greatly revere, to sanctify. And so right off the bat, hallowed be thy name means to set apart God's name, mark it off because it's holy, revere it greatly, sanctify his name. It is not to be used in a common way. Now, for us, when we refer to God, we call him God. But last week I mentioned again God's name. His name is Yahweh. Yahweh. We don't typically say that. So when we are praying or we're referring, we call God God. His name is holy. We should treat him as holy. We can't refer to God in any common way whatsoever. Objects used in worship in the Old Testament and objects used during the time of Christ were holy. They weren't used for anything else. They were only used in the worship of God. Like what? The Ark of the Covenant. It was holy because it was in the Holy of Holies and God was said to dwell between the cherubim. The holy censers, they were only used in worship. They weren't used for anything else. Only in worship were they used. The Sabbath day, it's holy. It's the fourth commandment. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Now, we don't worship on the Sabbath, which is Friday evening and Saturday, sunset. And the reason we don't is because Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and all of the followers began to worship on Sunday. But the principles of the Sabbath remain. The principles of the Sabbath remain. The day is changed, but the principles are. It is a day set apart for God. And that has been lost today. That's been lost today. When I was a boy... Don't you hate when your parents say that? When I was growing up, we hate saying that. And then you find yourself saying that yourself when you're adult to your own children. When I was growing up, nothing happened on Sundays. All of the stores were closed. We don't even think about those things. All of the stores were closed. Nothing happened. It was really a day set apart. You know what we did on Sundays after church? Because there wasn't much money. Sunday afternoon, go for a ride in the car. That's what families did back then. If we were lucky or fortunate or blessed, whichever one you want to say, we got an ice cream cone and we thought that was fantastic. We thought that was fantastic getting an ice cream cone. But the Sabbath, it is a day set apart. Jerusalem in Scripture is called the holy city. Angels are called holy. In several places, they're used in a worship of God. Constantly during every day, they're worshiping God. They're worshiping God all the time. Our culture finds hallowing God's name totally foreign today, don't they? Right? When you go in our culture today, totally foreign. When was the last time you heard someone say hello? We don't even use that word. Nobody uses that word in our culture. When you go to work tomorrow, you might want to say, hey, look at this. This is hallowed ground, isn't it? And watch everybody look at you kind of strangely and think, boy, is he crazy. Isn't he nuts? Rich, when you go to work tomorrow, you can say, hey, this is a hallowed seat you're sitting in. Our culture finds hallowing God's name foreign. And this is what we hear constantly. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stacy and I were watching a variety program a couple weeks ago. The host said that at least five times. I was counting them. I said, listen to that. At least five times. What's wrong with that? It's not being treated as set apart. God's name is not being marked off as different. It's not giving any significance. Oh, my God. That's used today as an exclamation of surprise. Oh, my God. Look at this. Oh, my God. What do I want to have happen after today's sermon? That we become more sensitive to that. Am I asking you to say to people, don't say that? No. Because they'll, unless you feel led to do that. But when I hear that, it pierces my heart. It pierces my heart when I hear someone say that. You have to understand what's wrong with it. It's not set off. It's not marked off as being set apart. It is not being treated as holy. It's being treated as common. Just as bad is the internet. OMG. OMG. All the time. What's happening? You know what's happening? Our culture is being desensitized. That's what's happening. Our culture is being purposefully desensitized so that we kind of go along with it. And we can't. We can't. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. We can't. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. One of the commandments, Ten Commandments. Is it in effect? Yes. It still is in effect today. What does that mean? Well, John Piper, one of the good ones today, one of the great ones today, one of the great Bible teachers, commentators, he says what it means, it's dealing with God and speaking of God in a way that empties him of his significance. This includes speaking about him in trifling and flippant ways, not just swear ways, but cheap ways. Cheap ways. Two things about God's name that we should know. Two things about God's name. One, God values his name. He values his name. That's why over and over and over again in Scripture, you see his name is to be praised and holy because it's to be valued. His name reflects who he is. It reflects his character. It reflects his glory. Do you know God is glorious whether we give him glory or not? God is glorious whether we admit it or whether we give him glory. His name is majestic. That's one of the choruses that we sing. We haven't sung it in a long time. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And of course, every day in our culture is treated common. His name is holy. His name is to be praised. Second thing, God does not want his name to be used in vain or to be profaned in any way. We just saw Exodus 27. The result of misusing his name will result, he said, he will not hold us guiltless, which means I would suspect that there's some sort of punishment attached to it. Now, let me just say, if you have done these things, or if you do these things, don't go home and go, oh, God's not going to, oh, I'm in trouble because, oh, God says I'm not going to be held guiltless. No, don't do that to yourself. Just don't do these things anymore. Don't do these things anymore. Every mention of God's name with our mouths is to be made with the highest reverence. With the highest reverence. When I was a boy growing up, it was common, holy mackerel, right? How many holy mackerels? How many people said that young growing up, holy, look, see all of us? All of us over a certain age, over 20. Holy mackerel, how about holy cow? Or how about this one? You have to go back for this. Holy brontosaurus, Batman. You got to go back for that one. I think we heard that one every week on Batman. Batman. Well, cows aren't holy, are they? Unless you live in India. If you live in India, cows are holy. The Hindus worship cows. They worship cows, but God's name is holy. I want to share with you just a few scripture verses, and I want to emphasize these are a few. They in no way exhaust scripture. God says, Leviticus 22, do not profane my holy name. Psalm 30, sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and awesome is his name. Holy and awesome. Psalm 103. This has been made into hymns, choruses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Psalm 7. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And as I said, these are just a few. No way do they even come close to exhausting scripture talking about God's holy name in any way. In case you don't know, that's Alexander the Great. We don't know what he looks like, but that's an artist's rendering of him. If anyone can tell me what year Alexander the Great was coming and invading Jerusalem, Bob will give you. On Mother's Day, Bob will give you $20. You heard it from Bob. Anyone know the date that Alexander the Great came with his army to the gates of Jerusalem? Bob, I know the date. Does that mean I get $20? <laughs> 332 BC. He came with his army. And you know, of course, he conquered the world, the known world at that time. He comes to the gates of Jerusalem. The high priest comes out with his priestly garb on, purple. On the front is a plate that has the name of God on it. When Alexander saw that high priest with God's name, he got off his horse and went down on his knees onto the ground, for he had a great sense of holiness. Alexander the Great! I look at things like that and I'm like, wow! He had, our culture has no clue! Our culture has no clue. So, how can we hallow God's name today? Because that is what Jesus is praying. Our Father, Abba, Abba, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How can we hallow God's name? One, be careful not to profane it. Be careful not to profane it. If you do that, if you say, oh my God, just go like this, slap your face and go, don't do that anymore. Don't slap it hard. Just kind of, what's wrong with me? I go like this. I go, when I do something stupid, I go, you dummy. I don't say, oh my God, except when I'm talking and teaching about it, like this. Be careful not to. If you do, mark yourself. And then if you do it all the time, it will become a habit where you don't do that. And as I said, every time I hear that, it's like a knife going through my heart because I know what Scripture has to say and what God has to say about His holy name. Second, we hallow His name when we worship Him. When we worship Him. Worship of God. In the beginning, I mentioned to you the book of Psalms is the praise book for the Jewish people. Do you realize how blessed we are to be able to worship God? We're not just singing hymns. We are not just singing choruses. That is the first thing that Jewish people did when they got together. They worshiped. They worshiped God. It can get into a habit where we were standing there and it takes concentration of our minds to know there's a difference and feel the difference. Psalm 96 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Ascribe to the Lord, give to the Lord glory that's due who He is, His holy name. A.W. Tozer, one of those great Christians from another era, great men from another era, said this. He said a lot of things, but worship rises or falls in any church depending upon the attitude we take toward God. We can stop right there and think about that a moment. Worship rises or falls in any church depending upon the attitude. What's our attitude about God? How do we view Him? Do we view him as being holy? I think I told you about the time many, many years ago when I was in Russia. No Russians. One time, some years back, I was talking to some Russians, and they said, you know, we Russians, we're crazy. And he said that to me because they were big. They had this big group, and they were all big. And he was very funny, and the group was funny. But anyway, many, many years ago when I was there, I checked all the churches. Every time we went to a different city, I checked the churches to see if any doors were open. Not one. And I went to many provinces and cities in Russia at that time. Not one was open. And then I would go behind the church and try them. One day I did that. I can't remember right now if it was Leningrad, Moscow, one of those big cities. Went behind, and there in the bushes was what I would call a baba, with a baba scarf around her head, and she was in the bushes like this. She had no idea that I was there. I have a picture of that. One of these days I should bring it and I should show it to you and put it up. There she is. And I thought, look at that. The doors of the churches are closed. She's praying. She comes and she'll stand outside and pray. And today, roughly in America, somewhere around 20-22% of people attend church every week. That's all. That's all in America. That's all. Anyway, A.W. Tozer says, worship rises or falls in any church depending upon the attitude we take toward God. Whether we see God big or whether we see Him little, most of us see God too small. You can't make God big, but you can see Him big. See, God's already big. He's already great. We can't make Him any bigger. He's already great and He's already big. But we can see Him big. And when we worship Him, that's what we do. We see him big. And we want to give him all the glory due his holy name. Third, we hallow God's name by how we live. By how we live. What we do with our life every day. What are we seeing with our eyes? What are we saying with our mouths and tongue? What are we doing with our life? We hallow God's name by how we live as Christians. Hallowing God's name is not a request that God be made holy, because he already is, but that we will reflect his holiness in our lives. And so when people see us, they say, you know what? Jeff, there's something different about you. I remember you. You're different now. There's something different. What's different about you? Why? Because people see something. Salvation is the beginning of the sanctification process. Salvation is not the end. I think Christians in America treat salvation as the end. I'm saved. Whew, got my fire insurance. I'm all set. Don't have to worry about going where it's hot. But salvation is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the sanctification process. I'm going to give you three simple steps towards salvation, theologically. One, justification. That's where we become saved, being made right with God. Justification is being made right before the eyes of God. God sees us as being, he sees us as being set apart, holy and justified, right. The second one is sanctification. Sanctification is the process of us becoming more and more like Jesus. This is the time that we have to do that. We're being sanctified as we live our lives. If we make that effort and being intentional about it. The third part, salvation, glorification. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. What's glorification? That's when we go, phew. We go up, we receive a new body, and we're with God forever and ever. If we could get theology and put it down in three steps, that's it. Justification, sanctification, glorification. That's it. Sanctification. Let me show you just a little bit about sanctification. The Father plans it. The Father plans it. He made that plan. The Son provides it. The Holy Spirit achieves it in us. Philippians says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. And that's what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation. He is not talking about work to earn your salvation. He's talking about work out what God has worked in. Work out in your life what God has worked in. And that is something that we do intentionally in our lives, that God has worked in his salvation process in me. My job of the time that I have here is to be made more and more into his likeness, to become more and more like Jesus. There were two altars in the tabernacle, two altars in the temple. Each one had a function. Two altars. One was the brazen altar. And you can, there it is right there. That's where the sacrifices were made. And you can see the smoke rising. The sacrifices were made there. Every Jew was required once a year to bring in a lamb. It was a pet lamb without blemish. And they were to sacrifice that to cover their sins, not to forgive, because that pointed to the perfect lamb who would come. And so the brazen altar was the place of sacrifice. The second altar was the golden altar. The second altar, the golden altar. This stood inside the Holy of Holies. We showed this. You go into this building, the Holy of Holies is in there, and the holy place. The holy place comes first, and then the Holy of Holies. You could not enter the holy place and the Holy of Holies without first coming to the place of sacrifice. Once you entered the holy place, which was just before the veil that went into the Holy of Holies, only then could you enter into worship. Do you get the significance of that? Only then could you enter into worship. You had a first. Past the brazen altar where sacrifices were made. Only then could the priests worship at the golden altar. Worship. One of the ways that was to burn incense up, raise it up to God, and we're told that God breathes it in into his nostrils. I want to show you now something I've shown you before, and I thought, you know, I've shown this film before, but the last 2 years I've shown it August. Don't fold up your bulletins. Don't put your Bibles away. I want you to pay attention and listen to this. It struck me several years ago when I first came upon it. It is not crystal clear. I have no idea where I found it. I've looked again for a clearer version of it. I can't find it. So it's not as clear. And Tom, I'm going to ask that you turn off the lights, listen and watch closely.
Every day of this life, things are changing. Our circumstances, our surroundings, even ourselves. Everything is changing. As I wonder what it is in existence that is steady, consistent, and unchanging, only one truth emerges. It is the unfailing love of God our Father. As I reach for him through my darkness, he is there, always. If there has ever been a time that I did not feel the comfort and strength of my Creator's hand, it was because I let go. How do I repay him for all he is to me? For being the strong tower in my life of indecision and doubt? The answer lies in how I would describe who he is to me. Because of his promise to guide and protect my life from evil, he is worthy to be praised. As the giver of life, and because of his gift of eternal peace, he is the one and only. With no other way for me to escape my sinful nature, he is my Redeemer. Without him, I am nothing and would be lost. He is my salvation in this life. He has healed my broken spirit and delivered me from pain. He gives me hope. As an all-knowing, all-powerful, always present God with no limits, he is infinite. The wind obeys his voice. He commands the waves. He spoke and it was, because he is perfect. I have been created to bring honor and glory to him. Every breath I breathe has been given to me for that purpose. All I am is because of his grace. For all he is and continues to be, there is nothing more I would rather do than lay my life before God himself and worship.
Wow. Right? Isn't that a wow? That's a wow. Sham wow indeed. Majestic voice, helps a lot. You have the sense of majestic with all the nature behind and the cliffs and the mountains and so forth. And it brings into perspective how awesome he is and what he's done for us and how he draws us into him. And he wants us and loves us. And all he asks is that we treat him, ascribe to him the glory due his name. Wow. Musicians.